Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most exciting parts of your geography course, fieldwork, and specifically investigating human environments. Whether you studied a central or inner urban area or a rural settlement, this topic is worth serious marks in your exam, so let's make sure you're fully prepared. Let's start with the big picture. What is geographical fieldwork? At its heart, fieldwork is about going out into the real world, collecting data, and using that data to answer a geographical question. The examiners want to see that you understand the entire process, from asking the right questions at the start, all the way through to evaluating your methods at the end. This is called the geographical inquiry cycle, and it has five key stages. Ready? Here they are. Stage one, formulate your inquiry questions. This is where you identify a geographical issue and write focused questions to investigate it. For example, if you're studying an inner urban area, a good inquiry question might be, how has the quality of the built environment changed between the CBD and the inner city? Or for a rural settlement, to what extent does the village of Haworth show evidence of counter-urbanisation? Stage two, plan and collect your data. This is where you decide which methods to use and actually go out and collect your information. And here's something really important. The specification requires you to use at least one qualitative method and at least one quantitative method. I'll explain both of those in detail in just a moment. Stage three, process and present your data. Once you've collected it, you need to organise it into tables, graphs, maps and diagrams. Think choropleth maps, bar charts, scatter graphs. Examiners love to see well-presented data. Stage four, analyse and interpret. This is where you look for patterns, trends and anomalies in your data and start to explain what they mean geographically. And stage five, evaluate and conclude. This is where many students lose marks. You need to draw evidenced conclusions, linking your findings back to your original inquiry questions, and critically evaluate your methods. Were they reliable? Were there any limitations? What would you do differently? Now, let's talk about those two types of data collection methods, because this comes up in the exam again and again. Qualitative methods are about recording qualities, things that are harder to measure with numbers. They capture opinions, perceptions, and descriptions. The most common qualitative methods for human environment fieldwork are environmental quality surveys, where you score the quality of an area based on criteria like cleanliness, greenery, and building condition. Bipolar surveys, where you rate an area on a scale between two opposite statements, for example, very attractive to very unattractive. Questionnaires, where you ask people for their views and opinions. And annotated photographs, where you take photos and add labels to explain what you're seeing geographically. Quantitative methods, on the other hand, produce numerical data that can be measured, counted, and statistically analysed. For human environment fieldwork, key quantitative methods include pedestrian counts, literally counting how many people pass a point in a set time period, land use surveys, recording the function of every building along a transect, building condition surveys, scoring buildings on a numerical scale, and using secondary data like census statistics or index of multiple deprivation scores. Speaking of secondary data, this is another area where candidates often lose marks. The specification is very clear. You must use at least two secondary data sources. So what counts as a secondary data source? Think census data from the Office for National Statistics, that's the ONS, which gives you population figures, age profiles, employment data, and ethnicity breakdowns. The Index of Multiple Deprivation, or IMD, ranks every small area in England by levels of deprivation across seven domains, including income, employment, and education. Ordnance survey maps let you compare historical and current land use, and local authority planning documents can show you what development has happened or is planned for an area. The key skill here is not just using these sources, but evaluating them. Ask yourself, how reliable is this data? How recent is it? Does it cover my specific study area? The 2020
2021 census is the most recent, but some areas may have changed significantly since then. Now, let's talk about those two types of data collection methods, because this comes up in the exam again and again. Qualitative methods are about recording qualities, things that are harder to measure with numbers. They capture opinions, perceptions, and descriptions. The most common qualitative methods for human environment fieldwork are environmental quality surveys, where you score the quality of an area based on criteria like cleanliness, greenery, and building condition. Bipolar surveys, where you rate an area on a scale between two opposite statements, for example, very attractive to very unattractive. Questionnaires, where you ask people for their views and opinions. And annotated photographs, where you take photos and other labels to explain what you're seeing geographically. Quantitative methods, on the other hand, produce numerical data that can be measured, counted, and statistically gone. For human environment fieldwork, key quantitative methods include pedestrian counts, literally counting how many people pass a point in a set time period, land use surveys, recording the function of every building along a transect, building condition surveys, scoring buildings on a numerical scale, and using secondary data like census statistics or index of multiple deprivation scores. Speaking of secondary data, this is another area where candidates often lose marks. The specification is very clear. You must use at least two secondary data sources. So your counts is a secondary data source. Think of census data from the Office for National Statistics, that's the ONS, which gives you population figures, age profiles, employment data, and ethnicity breakdowns. The Index of Multiple Deprivation, or IMD, ranks every small area in England by levels of deprivation across seven domains, including income, employment, and education. Ordnance survey maps let you compare historical and current land use, and local authority planning documents can show you what development has happened or is planned for an area. The key skill here is not just using resources, but evaluating them. Ask yourself, how reliable is this data? How recent is it? Does it cover my specific study area? The 2021 census is the most recent, but some areas may have changed significantly since then. Now, here's something that trips up a lot of students, the physical interaction requirements. The specification asks you to understand how the physical landscape features interact with the human settlement. This means you can't just focus on the human geography in isolation. For an urban area, think about how the river valley or floodplain has influenced where the CBD developed, or how topography affects housing density. For a rural settlement, consider how the physical landscape, the relief, drainage, and soil type, influence where the village was originally founded and how it has grown. For example, many English villages are nucleated settlements that developed at spring alarms, where water emerges from permeable rock. The physical geography literally determined where people chose to live. Examiners will credit candidates who make these physical human connections explicit.
Right, now let's get into exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. You need to know how to turn that knowledge into marks. The command words in fieldwork questions are really important. Let me walk you through the most common ones. Describe questions, usually 2 to 4 marks, just want you to say what you see or what happened. No explanation needed. If you're describing a graph, use data. Say, pedestrian counts were highest at 12 noon, reaching 87 people per 5 minutes, and lowest at 9 a.m. with only 23 people. That's the kind of specific, data-rich description that earns full marks. Explain questions, usually 4 to 6 marks, want you to give reasons. Use connective language. Because, this means that, as a result. Don't just describe, explain the geographical process behind what you observed. Evaluate questions, often 6 to 9 marks, are the big ones. These ask you to make a judgment. Was your method effective? Were your results reliable? What were the limitations? The best answers consider both strengths and weaknesses and reach a clear overall judgment. Examiners call this sustained evaluation. Suggest improvements questions are really common in fieldwork papers. Always think about 3 things. how you could increase the sample size, how you could improve the accuracy of your measurements, and how you could make your data more representative of the whole area. Now, let's talk about the most common mistakes I see candidates make and how to avoid them. Mistake number one, describing methods without justifying them. Don't just say, I used a pedestrian count. Say, I used a pedestrian count because it provides quantitative, numerical data that can be statistically compared across different locations and time periods, making it easier to identify patterns. That justification is what gets you into the higher mark levels. Mistake number two, forgetting to evaluate. So many students write brilliant fieldwork descriptions, but then fail to critically reflect on their methods. Always ask, what could have gone wrong? Was my sample size large enough? Could the weather have affected my results? Was there any observer bias in my environmental quality survey? Mistake number three, ignoring secondary data. If the question asks about your investigation and you only mention primary data you collected yourself, you're missing a whole strand of marks. Always reference your secondary sources and explain what they added to your investigation. Mistake number four, not linking to the inquiry question. Every paragraph of your answer should connect back to your original question. Examiners call this maintaining geographical focus. If your inquiry question was about urban change, every piece of evidence you discuss should be linked to that theme of change. Mistake number five, vague conclusions. The results showed that the area was quite deprived is not a conclusion. A good conclusion says, the pedestrian count data combined with the IMD scores, which place this area in the most deprived 20% nationally, strongly suggests the inner urban area is experiencing significant socioeconomic decline, supporting the hypothesis that the area has been affected by deindustrialisation and urban decay.
Okay, time for our quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions, and I want you to pause the podcast and try to answer before I give you the answer. Ready? Question one. Name two qualitative fieldwork methods suitable for investigating a human environment. The answers are any two from environmental quality survey, bipolar survey, questionnaire, annotated photographs, or sketch maps. Question two. What does IMD stand for and what does it measure? Index of multiple deprivation. It measures levels of deprivation across seven domains, including income, employment, education, health, crime, barriers to housing, and living environment. Question three. Name the five stages of the geographical inquiry cycle in order. One, formulate inquiry questions. Two, plan and collect data. Three, process and present data. Four, analyse and interpret. Five, evaluate and conclude. Question four. What is the difference between primary and secondary data? Primary data is collected firsthand by the researcher during fieldwork. Secondary data is data that already exists and was collected by someone else, like census data, IMD scores, or OS maps. Question five. Give one example of how physical geography interacts with a human settlement. Any good answer here? For example, a village developed at a spring line because the physical landscape provided a reliable water source. Or a city centre developed in a river valley because the flat land and river provided transport and trade opportunities. Brilliant work! Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key things to remember. Number one, the geographical inquiry cycle has five stages: formulate, collect, process, analyse, evaluate. Know them in order. Number two, you must use at least one qualitative and one quantitative method. Know the difference and be able to justify your choices. Number three, you must use at least two secondary data sources. The census, IMD, OS maps, and local authority data are your go-to sources. Number four, always address the physical interaction. How does the physical landscape influence the human settlement? Number five, evaluation is key. Examiners want to see critical reflection on your methods, not just description. And number six, use specific data in your answers. Numbers, percentages, named places, and named sources will always push you into the higher mark levels. You've got this! Fieldwork is actually one of the most interesting parts of geography because it's about real places and real people. Take that enthusiasm into your exam, back it up with the skills we've covered today, and you'll be in great shape. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.